Tom Dietz, welcome to West Southwest.
Well, thank you. Glad to be on the show.
When I first moved to Kalamazoo, I didn't have a great relationship with Crosstown Parkway. I would turn on it and I would end up, you know, like it says, across town, and I'd be lost. You know, since then, as I've gotten to know town more, I appreciate it more as a shortcut. And then I was surprised to learn that Crosstown is an artifact of this much bigger plan for Kalamazoo that, for the most part, didn't come to pass. What was Crosstown Parkway supposed to be part of?
It was supposed to be part of what was proposed to be a ring road that would circle the downtown area. Now, Crosstown doesn't follow the precise path that the model and that the original planning did, but it sort of does enough. So you could say, yeah, this is what it would have been like if there had been a road that would have circled around the downtown area. So, and like you say, that's about the only one of the few remaining artifacts of a much larger plan for revitalizing downtown, which was known and still is known as the Gruen Plan.
And this plan for revitalizing downtown, this wasn't something in the 80s or the 90s or recently. This was the 50s?
The planning begins in the late 50s. And part of it is that the downtown is getting older. The first suburban shopping mall in Kalamazoo, Southland, is opening in 1959, but that's not new. That's happening all across the country. Though I think the city fathers recognized that there was that they needed to do something if they were going to keep a lively, vital downtown, which had been for many years the retail center of Kalamazoo County. So what are you going to do? Well, they've heard about this idea of downtown malls, walking malls, where you could avoid the traffic that people hate when they're shopping. What if we did that? And there was a man by the name of Victor Gruen, who was a well-known urban planner, that the city and some of the local city fathers contracted to come up with a proposal to help save the downtown.
I didn't realize that saving the downtown and that downtown revitalization was a concern as early as the 1950s.
It would have been, because I think that it was clear to anybody who was foresighted at the time that there was any number of factors in the 12, 15 years after World War II that was pushing suburban development, from the construction of the interstate highway system, which by 1958, 59 was being built where it is today, right here in Kalamazoo, but it had been happening across the country. Malls were springing up. Federal government programs to promote housing in the 1940s, late 40s and early 50s, under first the so-called GI Bill of Rights, and then under other programs that come up from the Federal Housing Administration. They will insure your mortgages, but they placed a premium that it easier if those mortgages were on single-family homes, and cities didn't have the land for the development of single-family housing. Most of it had been built up. Kalamazoo was typical. So I think city fathers recognized it, and they recognized that there was competition coming in terms of housing, in terms of transportation, in terms of shopping. Yet the heart of the city was commercial. How do we maintain that? We had Penny's downtown. We had Sears downtown. We had J.T. Grant. We had Woolworths. We had on and on. How do we keep them here? Well, the Gruen Plan is designed to help with that.
The Kalamazoo Valley Museum has the model that was built of this plan, and we had the benefit of looking at it. And it looks different enough that even if you're familiar with the layout of downtown Kalamazoo, it takes a minute to get oriented, I think, looking at it. It did for me anyway. What I noticed was that you've got a lot of parking around the edges, and then you've got many pedestrian malls in the center. And so this wasn't just a sort of cosmetic change to a few blocks. This would have been a really big change for downtown.
Oh, it would have dramatically reshaped the downtown area. People know about the Burdick Mall, portions of which the North Burdick Mall, the latter part of it from north from Michigan Avenue to just up to Eleanor Street, still exists, but which had originally been from Michigan Avenue south for several blocks. One of the famous because it's one of the first, if not the first, urban pedestrian mall in the city. But the Gruen Plan proposed not only that Burdick Street be turned into a pedestrian mall, but large portions of Michigan Avenue between Rose Street and over to about Edwards, as well as portions of Portage, the whole downtown would have become a pedestrian mall, not just those two blocks. That plan, of course, is never fully implemented. There are a whole host of reasons from politics and money and others, that, how to finance it, that is, when I say money, that stay. But yes, if you would not have recognized downtown and what we have today in this really revitalized downtown would have been entirely different.
It seems like you have this idea that people are going to drive to the downtown area and then they're going to walk around it.
Well, you wouldn't. The ring road would have been so extensive that what was proposed is you would park pretty much along the exterior. There would still be residential. You could still get to within a few blocks of this primary pedestrian area. But there would also have been a lot of sort of public transit. People might be familiar if you come downtown Kalamazoo during the holidays and see the Holly Jolly Trolley, which has a route. You would have had public transportation like that, buses that would have been coming frequently, not just on the hour, but frequently. You could have hopped on and they would have taken you to that portion. Then you would have hopped off where you wanted to go. So it wasn't like you would have gotten all your exercise in moving in from those parking lots that would have been closer to the road and then having to get into downtown. You could have, would have been good for you probably. But there would have been some kind of a little transit, some short hop thing so you could get on, go for three blocks, four blocks, hop off.
And so the idea was that you wouldn't have to face traffic congestion in a downtown. Instead, you could drive without hitting traffic, park, take one of these trolleys or modes of transportation in, and then enjoy walking around.
Yes, it was sort of like creating the mall, the shopping mall experience in downtown. The Southland Mall, which first opened, was really a strip mall. Kalamazoo doesn't get really an enclosed mall for some time until the Crossroads Mall opens. But it was clear from other cities that, like Detroit, where Northland was enormously popular by this time. Of course, today Northland is on the auction block. But the city fathers could see that. And they assumed that and the planner, Mr. Gruen, Victor Gruen, is that pedestrians like the idea of being able to walk from store to store without having to look first left, then right to cross the street. And since in a shopping center, you parked and then walked in and then you walked around from store to store, they were attempting really to create that while, for the most part, retaining the older buildings and the older stores that were downtown. The plan was really a great plan, but it simply just went against the spirit of the times. People wanted the malls, and this never really quite made it.
Would you have lost the historic character of the downtown had the Gruen plan been completed?
No, not all of it. Some of it would have been replaced. If you look at the model, you can tell where more modern buildings are proposed, and it's not clear from the model what all of those are. Some would have apparently been kind of maybe a public entertainment arena or venue of some sort. Others might have been a convention center adjacent. But they proposed in the mall, you can still see that, for instance, the Burdick Hotel, the New Burdick, as it was known to people at the time, was still standing in that model. So was the Hanselman Building, a 10-story building on the would have been on the north west corner of Burdick in Maine. It's still there. On the other hand, you cross the street, all of those buildings that have been remodeled in the 100 block of East Michigan apparently are going to be replaced. But the stores along Burdick Street, well, they're gonna stay there. So there's there is some, I guess, concession to historic preservation, although I think that it was more of an economic thing. We can't expect the Gilmore's department store, the Penny's department store, the Sears department store, all to put up new facilities. We'll keep their current buildings in place.
To build more on this walking topic, the reason that I'm interested in that is because you hear a lot now about walkability. I don't know if that word's in the dictionary yet, but you hear people talk about walkability, having a downtown that is pleasant for pedestrians and bikes and non-motor traffic in general. And I thought that was a recent idea. And yet you look at the Gruen plan and it's a different kind of walkability than we might come up with now, but that's part of the plan then as well.
Oh, I think it's part of the plan. I don't know that it's the motivation in the same sense that walkable downtowns are today, but it certainly would have served that purpose, that function.
What's the difference between the motivations now and then?
Oh, I think today part of it is just that there is, if what I read is in any way accurate, is that a younger generation is less motivated for a variety of reasons to want to own an individual vehicle, especially in the bigger cities. They're interested in these new services like Uber and Lyft and things like that, and they want to be able just to, well, to enjoy the things that cities once offered in the 19th century, which was a short public transit ride to where you want to go, rather than have to get in the car and all the expense of maintaining a car. At a car. So I think that today the motivation is partly ecological, partly economical, partly just changing mores, which unfortunately, speaking of changing mores, is what really killed the downtown. And 50 years ago, so now almost 60 years ago, the mores were, get in a car and, take and go out to that mall that's a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles out of what was then the downtown. Today, I think it's just a change of way people look at the values that motivate, their lifestyle.
Is it fair to say that suburbanization did win that battle in the 50s, in the short term at least?
Oh, in the 50s, it did, both here in Kalamazoo and elsewhere. I mean, I'm trying to think, Penny's was still downtown. Well, Jacobson's was still downtown when I first came to Kalamazoo in the early 90s, trying to remember if Penny's still was or if they had pulled out already. But Sears was gone. Gilmore's, which was local, yes, they were still down there. But Woolworth's was gone. All of the Five and Dimes and things like that had been there, all of that is gone. And had a lot of vacant storefronts in those days, small shops, things, not the good variety and the lively downtown small shop experience, specialty shop experience that we have today. And that's all changed in my 22, 23 years here in Kalamazoo. It's back, but in the 50s, yes, people went at those malls. People went out there, and whether you're looking at what develops along Southland, whether you're looking at what develops out along West Main, it and the interesting thing is, it doesn't only kill downtown; it kills neighborhood retail centers. Places like Washington Square, which once you had right there in your immediate walking neighborhood what you needed. Not everything, but there's a hardware store, there's a barber shop, there's a electronics store, there's a grocery store. It's all right there. Washington Square, is wiped out. Some efforts are made. Think about it. If you go further down Portage, and you get to Cork Street, you've got the Cork Lane Shopping Center, which is kind of a strip mall that's trying to compete within the cities, and it does successfully. It's still there, and you still have a few of those. But then when that's up, well, Millwood has been annexed by the city, but it's fighting against trying the big mall things. But I think also there's just people sometimes like the new. Oh, it's innovative. We've got to go. And then finally, you start finding out, well, times are changing. I mean, the big malls are in trouble now. I mean, I mentioned a few minutes ago, Northland's on the auction block, but that problem is happening across the country. That's not something that's specific to Southfield, Michigan. People don't want to go to this. Part of it is geography, part of it is continued urban sprawl, part of it is just,
Sprawl. And when did that word come along? Were people talking about sprawl in the 50s?
I don't know how widespread that terminology would have been in the 50s. I know, and just this is just personal experience because I'm not an urban a planner or an urban development person who could tell you when, but I certainly know that by the early 70s, people I know were talking about urban sprawl when I was in college. Oh yeah, the sprawl out to the suburbs. And so I think by the 60s, people were starting to recognize that. That the cities and the suburbs were creeping out, creeping out, creeping out, and people started using, the fairly natural word, sprawl. They're sprawling out across the landscape. And even by the 70s, the first of the suburbs were suddenly running into the same thing as people wanted to move even further and further out. For a lot of the reasons when we talked about walkability before, I think for a lot of younger people, different the younger generation, it's like, no, let's get back. Because the other thing I think you lose with suburbanization, with the sprawl, is you lose the sense of living in a neighborhood. Yes, you've got your neighbors, but you don't have a neighborhood in the same sense that there's a common gathering place where you can all, where people will gather and have a breakfast, or will have gather on a Friday night or something after work. You go to some big place that's got blasting 83 television screens. So I think you lost that sense of community that neighborhoods used to foster. And suburban communities, well, they were spread out, and you didn't have sidewalks in many of them, so you didn't really walk. So you had to walk in the street. So it kind of really cut into that sense of community.
Right. It's interesting to me to think that at the time when the Gruen Plan came along, when there was this concern about suburbanization, that there was probably even then a lot less sprawl than there is now. I'm guessing you didn't have, strip malls all the way down Westnoge, for example.
Oh no. I mean that's just starting. I mean the Gruen Plan is an effort to retain a vital downtown. It's not to, oh, downtown is decaying. What are we going to renew? How are we going to renew it? How are we going to restore it? How are we going to revive it? It's, we've got a downtown. It is still very lively. We've got a wide selection of retail outlets here. How do we keep this as a lively downtown, as so that, as these new retail centers pop up and housing pops up? And for that matter, we should keep in mind in Kalamazoo, this is the period when at that time, one of our largest, well, two of our largest manufacturing concerns are either in decline, the paper industry, which is declining, and then the Upjohn Company is moving out of the city and is moving its production facilities from the downtown area out to where the Pfizer plant is today, down at Bishop Road and Romance off of Portage. So there's all of these forces pulling away from downtown, and I think you have to give the city fathers at the time. Unfortunately, there weren't many women involved, politically, and so I'm not trying to be sexist by saying the city fathers. It's just that was the era. There are one or two women who play roles, but it's primarily the men. But in any case, they are trying to be looking ahead. They're trying to anticipate, and they're trying to say, how do we keep this downtown? We don't want to lose it. There's a lot of things pulling against that, a lot of centrifugal forces pulling away from downtown. What can we do? And that's what Gruen was about. I mean, he institutes malls in other parts of the country, pedestrian malls. And in the end, they all come to the same conclusion that Kalamazoo did in the late 90s. It didn't work from the standpoint of businesses. And so you start reopening those streets.
Yeah, why didn't it work?
I think in the end, because parking was an issue. You still had, especially when the Ring Road things. So now you got to park, and well, either you pay to park in a parking ramp, and a lot of people don't like to do that. There is still the, and the other thing is, well, with the mall there, you don't drive by it and say, oh, hey, I'd like to stop there. You have to already be parked and walking the streets and say, that's an interesting store. I didn't know that store was here. I'd like to go in there. if you can drive by it, even, you know, may not be going there, you go, I didn't know there was a, such and such a place there. I'm going to have to come back. Well, and I think that that is a part of it. You can see the business, even if you can't park there immediately, you know the business is there. You come, it's the business, you know, is kind of hidden when it's on a pedestrian mall. And unfortunately, for most people, for, you know, I don't know if I should say unfortunately, but the case is that most people are driving, and a lot of times they say, "Oh, is that where that store is? I've heard about it. Oh, now I know." But if you're driving by and if, you know, when you're on the main road, it's like, wonder what's down that road, those blocks there. You just never know. So.
When did the city let go of this plan, the parts that hadn't been built, which was most of it?
I'd have, well, to be honest, I don't know off the top of my head exactly how it died. But I think certainly by the early 60s, it's become clear. One, you know, once, well, I think even. It becomes fairly clear early on that they're only going to get the Burdick Mall in. Of course, closing Michigan Avenue, as the plan proposed, would also have required cooperation with the state because that is a Michigan highway, M43. So, you know, even today, that is an issue as the city fathers, the city planners are looking at how do we revitalize downtown. You can't do it on your own. So you run into some political jurisdictional issues. You certainly run into people who are saying, I don't want to pay the taxes for this. You probably couldn't have got at the time commitments from some of the department stores, the national chains. I mean, Sears was already building its out of downtown store, which is now the City of Kalamazoo's Justice Center on Crosstown Parkway. That was originally a Sears store when they closed their business, which is the building now that known as the Haymarket Building. Probably the most visible store over there now is the Wine Loft restaurant, but that was a Sears store. You know, they're moving out, and I suspect that you found the same thing from other stores. Say, no, we can't commit to staying here. So you've got all of these factors. I would say somewhere the mall opens in 59. Oh, it's been a while since I looked, but it opened 50, 59. Yeah. And then I would say within a couple of years, it's become clear that, you know. And then there are other issues there. We didn't talk about other issues. There were concerns that the Ring Road would, in effect, create sort of segregate the city of Kalamazoo, and, or at least block it off. And it did, it would have. It was perceived by many who lived in poorer neighborhoods, particularly people of color, that they would have been being cut off by the Ring Road, that it was kind of a barrier. And so you begin to get some opposition on as well on the grounds that, hey, it's, you know, you're making it difficult for the north side, the east side, you know, in neighborhoods that were predominantly historically neighborhoods that had at least significant African American population. So you've got some of that opposition as well, that this is like throwing up, you know, a physical barrier that says you're not welcome here. So.
Interesting. All right, so eventually that didn't happen. Take a look at my notes here. So, okay, here's something. Downtown traffic can be a bit tangled. Can we blame that on the vestiges of the Gruen plan, or does that have nothing to do with it?
It's a good question that I don't know the answer to right off the top of my head. At what point they decided that it would be better to have the one-way streets there? Because as late as about 58 or 59, both Kalamazoo and Michigan Avenue are two-way streets. But I whether that was, I'm sure the local people had some input into it, but I suspect the state as well had input into it because they, again, they are, you know, state highways and they're M43. It may be, is all I can tell you right off the top of my head, if that the motivation to do that was, well, if the Gruen plan's not going to work, let's do this. And that'll bring people into town because they'll have these, you know, these, you know, faster roads to get in. Well, fact, as we know, it's a faster way to get through.
So ultimately, this mostly wasn't realized. I've heard people say, thank goodness this plan didn't go through. We didn't build this ring road around downtown. We didn't build these big parking lots and plan on having people walk into this series of pedestrian malls. Well, what would there have been to regret? Is there anything we missed out on by not going with the Gruen plan?
Well, that's always hard to say because when you start debating what might have been, you bring your own perspective to it. I think that in some ways the entire plan might have made for a vital downtown in some ways. I also kind of tend to think that at the time it just sort of went against the spirit of the times, and you could have completed it and people still would have said, I want to go to a suburban mall. I want to build a house out in the suburbs. I want to get further and further away from the city. I don't want the traffic. I don't want the noise. I don't, because and we have to keep in mind that at the time there was still a lot of manufacturing going on in the city. In particular, the paper industry is still along the Portage Creek and the like. So you've got, I want to get away from all of that. I want to be able to, the ideal of a single family home with a nice big green lawn and a white picket fence is something that really inspired people. And oh, now they're having just these new malls out there for us to shop at, and the highways, the interstate is making it quicker and easier to get to, not to pick on anybody, but easier to get to Matawan, easier to get, why not do that as opposed to, so. It's possible that the Gruen plan might have worked, but I guess I would say I'm a little skeptical myself. I think it was a great plan, but it's one of those things that I think probably worked better on paper, probably worked better in a think tank at that time. If you were to try something like that today and somehow persuade everybody and all of the political and economic forces to agree to it, it might actually have a better chance of succeeding. At the time, I think it just was, the downtowns had to, for the most part, had to go through a period of decline, and now, at least in many of our cities like Kalamazoo, revive. But it's pure speculation.
It's interesting though, when you look at the plan, you don't only say, "Oh my goodness, what on earth were they thinking about? This is a bad idea. This is too much, or this is just silly." You see some good in it.
Oh, I think that there was some good. I think part of the idea of making the downtown, the malls, a not just because they would not have been just for retail. There was a lot of space for public interaction on there, places to sit and eat a lunch, eat a snack like people did along the mall, and still do. That was all built in. There would have been this bringing people together aspect to it that would have been good. I think one of the negative things with it is that it also assumes this ongoing eternal love of private automobiles. And you don't have to go too far reading today to find a lot of people saying those days are going to be ending, at least in big cities, and maybe even in a city the size of Kalamazoo, that people are going to say, I don't want that. I want to be able to walk to where I shop. I came over to the museum today. I live in the Stewart neighborhood, and I walked here. You've told me you live down in the Vine neighborhood. If you had wanted to, it wouldn't have been all that difficult of a walk to come downtown. Sometimes, of course, you do need your vehicle. You're hauling around a lot of equipment. But the Gruen plan assumed that we were always going to have that. And if you look at that model, pity the poor model maker who had to place all those probably a thousand or more vehicles on there to show where the parking lots would be.
You're talking about the little tiny model cars.
Really many, the things that are maybe at most a quarter inch in length. Come to the museum and take a look at it and see what was proposed for the city. It's on the second floor and easy for people to come and see and what the proposal was rather than kind of try to imagine this. You can actually see what it was and start looking for familiar lands, landmarks like the like Bronson Park, which is still there, what is proposed to still be there, and start placing yourself in it and like, oh, what might it have been? But I do think it still assumes with all those cars that people are going to get to downtown by their vehicle. I don't know how much of it proposed in terms of, you know, higher density downtown living, like we're seeing and what people want. I mean, from what I understand, there's a great demand for downtown housing, in the condominiums, in the lofts, in the apartments that exist. Right now here in downtown, you know, there's a high demand for that, from what I hear.
It sounds as though the interest in having a vital downtown remains and is strong now, but the idea for the means for how that happens is very different from in the 50s.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think what happened is that the downtown never fully collapsed as it sadly did in other cities, but it is now revived and it's not the retail center of the county. But there's a lot of entertainment. There still is a lot of commercial office professional use downtown. The big hotel, several museums, the library, lots of restaurants. You know, downtown has recreated itself as a different sort of destination than the Gruen plan anticipated. The Gruen plan is still, I think, heavily anticipates that people are going to come and shop downtown. Today, you come downtown and there are plenty of places to shop, but they're specialty shops. They're something like, oh, this or that. But it's not a shopping destination per se. Once you get here, you can find there's a lot of shopping you can do. But the downtown it's a different downtown than Gruen envisioned, and probably envisioned for any of the cities where he was invited in to do some urban planning.
Tom, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to add?
Not really. It's an interesting topic to see what's happened in downtown Kalamazoo, where it was, what it was, now what's going on to bring it back, and how it has come back. I mean, because it really has. The difference I've seen in 23 years, the museum, the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, where we're talking about all this, it was a big part of that revitalization, but it wasn't the only part. I mean, that's why the museum was built, was to be a part of that, bringing back downtown Kalamazoo by giving a place for people to say, oh, I want to go to see that. I mean, this already was the art museum, the civic theater, but now there's the public museum. There's now the library can expand and all that. So there's this effort to revive the downtown, and it's worked in many ways. And then of course it's maybe the stuff that's unanticipated. Who might have anticipated 20, 25 years ago that the east end of downtown was going to be a nightlife district, from along Edward Street to along East Kalamazoo Avenue. Just not going to mention some of the places because won't be able to mention them all. But there's so much that goes on down at that end of downtown right now on a Saturday night. You come down at 10 o'clock and there's a lot of traffic on the streets, which is really good. I think it signifies a lively downtown, but it's not the downtown that grew and anticipated. And maybe it's not the downtown that was necessarily anticipated even 20 or 25 years ago. It's the downtown that has developed as a result of some of the things that were done. And it's really exciting. I mean, and I can get the walking beer tour of downtown Kalamazoo. I've seen the map over at Discover Kalamazoo.
Seems like a promising one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So.
I think there's interest there.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tom Dietz, thank you for your time.
Oh, sure. And a lot of this, it's just my speculation, my own thoughts. But it's a topic worth pursuing.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay.